I want to give you a quick testimony, too, before we really get into the message. How many of you heard the message that I did called Red Shoe Dancing? Okay. And if you haven't heard that message, it's really, that one is good heard, but it's better seen. Stand up, Cole. Stand up for a moment. There's my grandson, Cole, right there. Hallelujah. I should have had him wear the red shoes today. But it's good because the expression on his face is just joy. And that's, remember my businessman friend that I've been giving you updates on? And he was the one that he went into a bad situation business-wise. His supplier doubled his prices, which he was going to have to pass on to his customers. And it looked really bad. It's a very competitive business, and it looked like most of his customers would switch to the competitor. And I gave you a partial report because that's all I knew the last time. Out of 14 customers, remember he had talked with six, and six out of six went ahead and went with the price adjustment. Y'all remember that? And I heard from him again. I didn't know the rest of the story, so I heard from him again this week. And what had happened, the company, because the supplier, they decided to go ahead and grandfather in all of the existing customers. So really, he didn't need to even go talk with any of them at all. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you this part. He says, so Father, why that abundant grace when I went and talked to six out of six? He said, well, that was kind of like, you know, you give your babies pacifiers. I gave you one. He was getting a little ahead of the Lord, you know, but okay, it's grace. Isn't that good, though? So by red shoe dancing, it's as though the problem never existed in the first place. That's the power of your Father, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. All right, now, our lesson today is actually going to be in Matthew 13, but I want you to start in Luke 12. Luke 12. It is Father's Day today, which is in America anyway. How many of you would like to give your Father a, I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. How many of you would? Now, we gave Him a pretty good gift a while ago during worship. That was amazing. I got caught up in it myself. He appreciates your worship. He appreciates red shoe dancing in the midst of your problems because that demonstrates faith in Him. But how many of you would really like to give your Father, your Heavenly Father, a good Father's Day gift today? Well, I'll show you. If you want to please Him, bring Him great pleasure. Look at this verse in Luke 12, verse 32. It says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now let's talk about the kingdom for just a little bit. And in the light of everything that's been taught for the last few weeks. Now go over to Matthew 13. We're going to talk about, again, the sower sows the word, but normally we teach, you know, it seems like most of us teachers, we teach it out of Mark 4. Today we're going to look at Matthew's account because there is a principle here about the kingdom of God that I thought I was already past this years ago. What is the kingdom of God? Here, let me get my, I do have some notes on this one. You don't have to turn to all of these. You remember these two lessons that I did, or a lesson I did recently where I talked about two different kinds of bread? You remember the, you know, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught on it in Matthew 6. He taught on it again in Luke 11. Matthew 6 account, he says, and if you just make reference of these, you don't have to turn here. You know it by heart anyway. But Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13 says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now notice, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, those two, let's see. Again, I've got about four messages. I've got to stay with his. All right, let me finish reading the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, Jesus states the Lord's Prayer again. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in that lesson, in case you haven't heard it, or just to get your mind going back down that path again, if you study the bread in Matthew 6, as Jesus begins to expound on what he meant by that, in Matthew 6, he is focusing on your bread. He's focusing on your needs. Where you can come to the place that you can trust God as your source. We thank God for our jobs. We thank God. I thank God that we live in America where there's freedom and you can choose to be whatever you want to be. You can be a doctor, an engineer, a housewife, or whatever it is. You know, your own business. I mean, you know, you might not run an empire, but you run a lawn mowing service. But bless God, it's your business. You're the president, CEO. You know, you're free to do that. But I thank God for the freedoms that we have here. Thank God for your job. I mean, thank God for a good job, you know, that pays well, supports your family. Our job in that job is to be, to show forth the character of Christ and the nature of Christ. You know, if we say we're going to do something, we do it. My goal, I guarantee I'm 66 years old. Most companies that would hire me would fire a teenager before they get rid of me. Because I know my job is to make them more money than they're paying me. I understand that. And if I don't, they're not going to keep me. See, I'm a good worker. I'll make you money if you hire me. Don't hire me. I'm not for hire. I'm just saying. But our job is to, you know, you're honest, hardworking. Your word is your bond, all those kind of things. Don't you thank God for all of that? But see, you can be like that and still the economy goes sour and you get a pink slip. Now, if you fall into worry and despair and oh God, oh me, well, you don't really know him as your source. Your job is your source no matter what you say. See, you can tell by your own heart. If you really go into fear, you don't really know him yet. Well, that's the teaching. Well, you know, I don't mean you don't know him in the sense of being saved, but you don't really know him as your provider. All right, we'll consider the lily for a minute. I'm not talking about the flower. I'm talking about my 5-year-old granddaughter. You remember, consider the lily? That night that she fell asleep on my chest and her little arm was right here and her little face was just laying right across my chest. I mean, consider the lily. Not a worry, not a care. Perfect love casts out fear. She's not worried about what she's going to eat tomorrow. She already knows that she has the Mimi who's more than enough and the Mimi who answers before she calls. I mean, I could show you in our closet shoes that girl's not going to need for a year or two, you know. Outfits that she can't even wear yet. Sue is the Mimi that answers before the need is there. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, that's what God wants with us. See? And that's the teaching that surrounds Matthew 6, is that we get to know him like that. Luke 11, though, when he talks, he uses almost identically the same words, give us day by day our daily bread. There, though, the teaching that surrounds the bread that time, he's not talking about your provision at all there. No, he's talking about you come to the place, you know him as your source, you know him as your healer, you know him as your provider. But now you've come to the place where you know that you have the authority to serve others from your Father's table. You have bread to give to others. You have someone blind, someone sick, someone lame. You say, I don't have anything in myself. I need bread to give to them. And you know how he gives you the bread? He gives you the Holy Spirit, who is the bread manifester. I'm going to go teach that again. Just a minute. I'm going to listen to that lesson. I'll be right back. Isn't that great? But we've got to learn to walk with the Holy Ghost and understand our role. And the thing that that amazes me when I... Now, this will get you thrown out of church. Not this one, but a lot of them. See, if the Holy Ghost could do that without you, He would. That is an astounding thing. He cannot do it without us. And for sure, we cannot do it without Him. You are the agent of authority. Everywhere you go, you go. In the name of Jesus, you are the agent of authority. You still have a body on this earth. You can't do it without that authority. See, Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth. But if you don't have a body on this earth, you don't have any authority here. How does He have a body on this earth? Mark, I had no idea that. Well, you are the body. Whether you're the eye or the single hair. Those of you that were here at 8:30 know what I mean. Whether you're the ear, the nose, whatever your part is, you're part of the body. And it's only through that body that His authority is manifested on planet Earth. But we don't manifest it without the Holy Ghost. He didn't. For 30 years, He grew up in Nazareth, had all that love, all that compassion. God is love. I know He's God in the flesh, but He didn't function as God. He functioned as a man, born with the life of God on the inside of Him, the only begotten at that time. Walking right past the sick, the lame, the halt, the blind, and that love on the inside of Him, it had to break His heart. Had to. And had to walk right past. Why? Why didn't He heal him? For years I didn't know the answer. Thank God for praying out the mysteries. And this will get you thrown out of churches too. He didn't heal him because He couldn't heal him. Not as a man. And He wasn't functioning as God. He could not heal them until He was baptized first by John in the River Jordan. And again, that's where He was symbolically saying to the Father, I know why You sent me. I know why I'm here. When John lays me down in this water, Father, that's my vow to You. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going to die for the sins of mankind. But Father, when He raises me, when John raises me up out of the water, that's also symbolically, I am trusting You. You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither shall my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting You, Father, to raise me up on that third day. And again, this is that message, a place called Done. God looked on the heart of Jesus, and a gavel came down in the courtroom of heaven, and God called it done. And as far as God was concerned, and it's really more than that, legally in the courts of the universe, if there was such a thing, Adam was legally dead. The whole species of Adam. And at that moment when Adam died, it was the end of the world for Adam, and God was free once more to assign dominion to a new man. Somebody different. Who would be a good candidate? How about His son that He just raised symbolically from the dead? That's why you see all three members of the Godhead at that event of the baptism of John. Here's Jesus the Son, God the Holy Spirit descending upon Him as a dove, and God the Father saying out of heaven, now this is My beloved Son. It's as though He was saying, the first man Adam is dead. That regime has ended. Now I am coronating. I am inaugurating. Today is the begin of the reign of the second man, the last Adam, My Son. Let Him have dominion. And that's the inception right there. That's Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It does not say how God anointed God. You notice that? It's so specific. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. See, by man came death. By man had to come the resurrection. Glory to God. About to have a running fit. Oh, man. Thank God for the praying out the mysteries. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, a man, born with the life of God, clothed in mortal flesh just like we have, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. But God anointed that man with the Holy Ghost and with power. And from that moment on, he didn't have to walk past the cripple and the blind and the lame anymore. Now he had something to serve off of the Father's table. And now he had the dominion of the Holy Ghost to serve it with. And then he said to us, "And the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." He said, "Power shall come on you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you." And yet we go try. I mean, I thank God for the times I've prayed for people and saw results. You know, I don't like it to tell about the ones I prayed for that died. I mean, some of them, you know. I don't think they would have died if Jesus would have been there to pray for them. Let's just be honest about it. So that's why Dave said years ago, he says, "Father, we're not arguing with you. We agree with these words. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Father, we believe it. We're trying to act on it." But Lord, it says, seems like the journey from having... Yes, sir. Boy, this fits the message today. It seems like the journey of having that knowledge to being transformed to that walk, that journey seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. Remember what the Lord said to him? He says, all of the answers to that are on the born-again trail. Now, Dave taught us the born-again trail quite a few years ago now. But I'm here to tell you, as you're going to see today, we're still filling out the understanding of that. Okay, that was a pretty good introduction. There was more revelation in the introduction than you're going to get at a lot of services. Let me just say it that way. Yes, sir. Now, and the title of this, if he lets me stay with it, is called Understanding the Word of the Kingdom. Understanding the Word. There's a big difference between knowing the Word and understanding the Word. Let's pick this up here in Matthew 13, starting in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Yes or no? Let me back up. The word of the kingdom. What I was going to point out this time in those two prayers, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and the Lord's Prayer in Luke, this time how he said in each time, "Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Religion will tell you that virtually everything that happens is already the will of God. Yeah, they will. They'll say, "Well, it's in God's hands now. Somebody's sick, you know, and looks like they're terminal, going to die. They've done everything they can do." Well, it's in God's hands. And what they mean by that is, well, we don't know if it's his will to heal them or not heal them. You know, I'm here to tell you about 99.9% of the time, it's not in God's hands. It's in the hands of believers to either act on the truth of the word of the kingdom or not act on the truth. And not act on it presumptively. See, we're going to have to grow up and really know who we are, what we have been given. And this Holy Ghost, we may actually have to develop a real relationship with him. A real relationship with him. You know what you're going to find out in that relationship? You are not Lord. No. And I don't mean a cop-out by that, saying, well, it must not have, Jesus is Lord. It must not have been the Lord's will to heal him. Well, I double-dog dare you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And how I can double-dog dare you is I've already done it myself. You go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find one time where Jesus said, "It is not the Father's will to heal you." You just find it for me. Show it to me. I'd love to see it. You're not going to find it. Well, it's God's timing. Well, let me find one for me where someone came for healing and the Lord said, "Well, it's his will to heal you, but just not today. Come back Thursday, we'll check again." You're not going to find that either. You're just not going to find it. Now, I know that we have ultimately we're going to slip off these bodies and go be with heaven. Go be with heaven. Well, that's okay. Go be with him in heaven. But you know, it doesn't mean you have to die sick for that to happen. You don't. There's nothing that says you have to die sick for that to happen. I'm going to be nice to you again and mean to me today as we go through these examples, so don't worry. Now this time, but I want you to understand, when he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, it's because most of the time what we see on planet earth is not really the will of the Father. What you see from that baptism of Jesus, from that point forward, now you start seeing the will of the Father. He comes to a blind person. Is that the will of the Father? Well, I don't know. Well, watch Jesus and find out. Remember what he told Philip? See, how can you know the will of God? Growing up in the denominations, they never knew. I mean, then you pray for Brother Smith. Well, thank God they wanted to pray for him, but I don't really want them praying for me. They'd say, oh, Father, we pray that you'd heal Brother Smith, if it be thy will. Well, they don't know him at all. Maybe they know him salvation-wise. But if you've got to add, if it be thy will, you don't really know him yet. And how I can say that, it's not just me saying that. Jesus said that. Philip, they're asking him, but just show us the Father. Could you please just show us the Father? I want you to see this in your Bible. You already know it. We're already at the end of my notes. John 14:9. Just look at it yourself. John 14:9. Yes, sir. This one is so important. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to wait till I quit here and the pages move. And you need to underline this verse. Put stars out in the margin. Draw little eyeballs. Write the word look. If you can get this, you're going to be ahead of 90% of the pastors in the world. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth if you can get this. He says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. We want to know what his will is when it comes to blindness. Well, what did he do? Did he open their blind eyes because it wasn't the will of the Father? It's the will of the Father. Now see, I'm supposed to stay away from the fasting verses. But Matthew 17 that killed me dead when it come to the will of the Father. See, this Matthew 17, when that man brought his lunatic son. And this was a bad case. I mean, this kid, he's not really a kid at this point, because he says later, of a child this came on him. So he's no longer a child. He might be maybe he's a young man, I don't know. But he brought his son, who was lunatic, and this thing, boy, I mean, it was a bad one. It manifested, and it would throw him in the fire, throw him in the water, this wallow on the ground, foam at the mouth. I mean, that's bad. that's bad, you know. And of a child, that has been on him. And so they bring him to the disciples. Now, y'all know at that moment, Peter and John was with Jesus up on the mountain. So they brought him to the ones that were there, not up on the mountain. And those disciples, if you'll read it, they had been casting out devils before and healing the sick before. That's why the man brought him to them. And they did everything, I'm sure, they've ever seen any Pentecostal do. They shouted. They used the name. They commanded. I'm sure they did everything. They used a loud voice. They used a hushed voice. I mean, everything that they knew to do. And that devil wouldn't come out. Now see, if the story ended right there, then there might be some justification for, well, you see, it's just not always the Lord's will. I mean, these are his disciples. They have the anointing. He's already told them to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. And they've had success before. So when they do that in this case, and the boy's not healed, see there, Brother Gary? See there? It's just not always the Lord's will, Brother Gary. Yeah, until you see Jesus show up. See, if the story ended right there, then there might be some justification for that. When Jesus shows up, he says, what's going on here? And when they show him what has happened. Now, I don't know how you read those red letters. You know, some people think that Jesus was always this little mousy character. I can't read that without, I think there was some temper in his voice. Now, I'm sure he was angry and sinned not. But when he comes to you and says, oh, faithless and perverse generation. I don't think he said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. He says, how long am I going to have to do this for you? How long am I going to be with you? You better, in other words, you better learn how to do this. And boy, watch him. And I mean, in short order, he gets that boy healed. And that drove the final nail in it for me years ago. It is my Father's will to heal. And I don't care if he's had it since a child. And I don't care if it's bad and really bad. And I don't care if the doctors don't have a cure. It's still God's will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Every time in Jesus' name. That's called revival, and that's exactly where we're headed. But we're going to have to understand the word of the kingdom. And that's more than having head knowledge of it. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute, being nice to you and mean to me. Is that okay? My, if you still have a problem with knowing his will, you know, I say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know if it's his will. You need to go through, you need to assimilate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You need to, I would recommend 30 times each, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can include the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it's until there stands up on the inside of you an image of Christ that religion can't get out anymore. There's an image on the inside of you. And when you have seen him, then you, in much greater measure, you know the Father. And you know his will. God, that's good preaching. If I say so myself, that's good stuff right there. Hallelujah. All right, let's get to the parable. Matthew 13:18. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. The word of the kingdom. Right now, I'm tempted to go to Luke 8. We won't go there, but it says how Jesus was going around with the 12. He was preaching and showing the good news of the kingdom. See, that's what, right now, we're better at preaching it than we are showing it. I do thank God for every time I've seen arms grow out. I've been the recipient of that myself. I've seen, man, I've felt the supernatural power of God work in my back. Y'all know I have a heart that medical science says I can't have. I'm supposed to still be taking that medicine that I quit taking in 1998. And they said, there's no cure for you. You don't know my Father. There is a cure. He gave me a new heart. Amen. All right. Oh, anyway, see, get to preaching instead of teaching. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Yes, sir. I can't hardly get past that sentence right there. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing to Tulsa. Delivering to them the word of the kingdom, not in words only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. First we tell them, then we show them. I'll try it again. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, now today we're going to focus on, and understandeth it not. See, you can think you understand it. You can teach it. Don't ask me how I know this. You can break down the Greek words. You can know from memory. I can't say all of the Greek words, but I can tell you pretty much the definition of every word in this parable, in this passage. I can tell you what each word means in the Greek. But yet, Gary, can you walk in it all the time? Can you walk in it even in your own life, much less? Or can you Matthew 6 it, much less Luke 11 it? Can you trust him in your own life, much less deliver the bread to somebody else? Well, I... See, there's a difference between having knowledge of it and really understanding it. You're going to get that in a minute. Now, something I never noticed until recently. Y'all know how Dave teaches us about the laws of meditation? Notice in verse 19, "And understandeth it not." You see that? And then if we read down through here, you're going to find all of the things that are in Mark 4, such as the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and all of those things. But notice right at the end of it, verse 23, he brackets it with that same word again. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and what? Received it and understandeth it." He bracketed this teaching even after the trials, even after all of the deceitfulness of riches, even after all of that, the manifestation still hinges on your understanding of the Word of God. Isn't that something? I never noticed he bracketed it before. I thought really, I just hadn't noticed that second understanding was in there. And I thought, well, if you understand it, then you're good. He says, yeah, but do you still understand it when the devil throws a kitchen sink at you? Yeah, do you understand it then? Well, what about if he throws it at you another way? Do you understand it then? All right. Back to this. There's certain thoughts that I have to pick up now. Recently, the Lord had me take an inventory of my own life and also that of my family's. Now, understand, once we have three daughters, Sue and I. Once they grow up and get married, I don't have that same authority that I had before. You understand? When they were in my own house. But that does not, the Lord is showing me plain, I am still the patriarch. Sue is the matriarch. Can we say that? We have influence. Our words have power. Our decisions have influence and power. Now, God has not called us to meddle. Some people have the gift of meddling. They think it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, but it's really a gift of the flesh. The gift of meddling and do it my way. And what God probably has called you to is the school of shut up. Give no offense, take no offense. Now, he's not calling us to meddle. He's calling us to pray and use the authority that we have on behalf of us, our house, and our family. Now, in our house right now, just Sue and I, yes, sir. He's not going to let me out of this. So let me read it again. Recently, the Lord had me take an inventory of my own life and also that of my family's. Even though I teach the Word of God with a certain level of understanding, the truth of the matter is, I'm sure he's just talking about me and not you, okay? The truth of the matter is, unless the kingdom of God has come to me in demonstration and power, then still the enemy has stolen the understanding of the Word from me. So in my life, the assignment that he gave me to start taking inventory was to search for areas in my life, and also we could kind of look down through our children's families and start looking for areas that I knew for sure the Father's will was not being accomplished. Fair enough? Aren't you glad he didn't have me look at your life? He's not going to have me look at it either. He's calling you to look at yours, see? Now, lack of understanding is only the first hindrance, but oftentimes it's all the devil needs. Didn't we ever did read it, did we? Go back to Matthew 13:8-19. See, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. If you don't understand it, he just comes immediately. I mean, you can come to that service and hear the pure word of God, but if you did not understand it, when you leave, you're no better off than when you came, because you can't act on it. Okay? And then let's go ahead and read the rest of the parable here. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and with joy he receives it, yet he has not root in himself, but dureth, and that means endures, but for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, now notice, because of the word. Why did Paul say that he was assigned a particular messenger of Satan to stop him? What was the reason? Give that girl an A+. Because of the abundance of his revelations. You become dangerous as you begin understanding, dangerous to the devil, when you begin understanding the word of God. He's going to try and stop you. And if you think you've been past his best yet, wait till we start emptying the wheelchairs. That's what Paul was doing. Yeah. When persecution or tribulation ariseth because of the word, well, by and by he's offended. But he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, Mark adds, the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. That's the God complex. They choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But here's our verse. He that receives seed into the good ground. Now get this straight. The seed is always good. There is no problem with the seed. God promised way back in Isaiah, my word is like the rain that cometh down and the snow and the rain that waters it. My word will not return to me void. It will accomplish that for which I sent it. Every word of God has the power within it to bring itself to come to pass. It's just like a seed in the natural realm. There is a corn stalk inside that seed. There's a whole corn stalk with many ears and many seeds on the inside of it. There's not a problem. The problem is, are you going to put it in good ground? And are you going to nurture it till you come to full harvest? Hello, ground. We be the ground. But the first level I'm talking about today is the understanding of it. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it and bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. All right, now let's get real. Y'all like to get real? So he told me to start taking this inventory. I bought a ring binder. I did. Bought a new one. In this case, I bought a little packet of college-lined ruled paper that's already got the holes punched in it, because I can't find my hole puncher. I have it, but I don't know where it is. So anyway, I bought this new ring binder, bought this little paper, and I'm starting to fill it out, because eventually this will be typed out. It'll be really nice when I get done with it. But see, right now, put that loose leaf paper in there, because there's different areas in my life and Sue's life. Now I'm going to talk about one. Can y'all tell I'm a little overweight? You don't have to answer that. Some things are just obvious. Actually, the truth of the matter is, I actually eat less today than I did 10 years ago. Part of the problem, now I'm just talking about me now. Can we just talk like family for a minute? Can I talk to you like we're home? I had polio when I was 5 years old. I have some deformity, a little bit in my body. There's some atrophy on the right side of my body. And there's some curvature and problems in my spine because I had polio. Now, I'm a blessed man. I had polio before the salk vaccine was even invented. Most young men my age that got polio then, they either died, they're in a wheelchair their whole life, or they were on an iron lung. I am a blessed, blessed, blessed man. I have done good work, physical work, concrete work, and my whole life. But now I'm going to start showing you what I mean by this understanding. So you think you understand the word. I know I would die on that mountain. Jesus is my healer. I'll die right on that mountain, man. I'll confess it right to the end. But the truth of the matter is, part of the reason I'm overweight is not that I eat so much. It's because my activity level is so low. And the reason one of them is I'm lazy. Now that's a stronghold problem. Praying in tongues, you work on that. The other one, I'm not really. I'm making a joke. Sue, am I a lazy man? I'm one of the hardest workers you'll ever find. The pain as I get older in my back really keeps me from being very active. it gets, So without realizing it, and see, not only has it affected my weight, but now it's really starting to affect our ministry. We have people that's inviting us to come to Australia and other places. And to be perfectly honest, and I've already talked with some of them, I've told them, they're in agreement with me. I said, look, I have let my physical condition get to the place I'm not sure I can. I'm not sure I can on an 18-hour plane ride. And hey, back a few years ago, things weren't quite so painful. I used to go to Korea. I preached 30 messages in 10 days. Y'all hear that? 30 messages in 10 days. That's a busy schedule. We went to Poland. I mean, I preached in Warsaw and Krakow and all these little towns that I can't pronounce, and I was just fine. But now there's a problem, see. Well, Gary, do you understand the word of healing? Did you hear me preach about 30 minutes ago? Is it His will? It's His will. I know it's His will. Gary, haven't you been in a prayer line and had Dave pray for you? Yes, I have. Did y'all see me get better? I got better. I thank God for miracles. But what's better than a miracle? Let's say it a different way. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Which is better, to receive by the gifts of the Spirit or to receive on your own faith? Your own faith, because if you know how to do that, you can receive anywhere. You don't have to track down Pastor Dave. You don't have to track him down. Now, if you need to track him down, track him down. We're not against the gifts of the Spirit, for crying out loud. But I can't be always hopping back or say, sorry, I'm in Australia. I got to get on a plane and find Pastor Dave in Tennessee. And I'll be back right after he prays for me. And does the thing and I'll be back. Okay? And I thank God for the thing. I thank God for that. But I'm finding out that's not permanent. You know, most of the time the devil will come back around. You're going to have to get to where you can receive yourself. So he's having me take this inventory. Now, there's a lot of things. Okay? I'm just going to pick on one. I'm going to pick on my back. Okay, let's pick on that. All right? Well, first off, I am past this one where is it the Father's will? Turn to Mark chapter 1 just for a minute. You've got to know this. Now, is it the Father's will? See, did you know there's only one place that I can find in the four Gospels where anyone ever even asked the question, is it your will to heal me? I can only find one place where that question was even kind of asked, and it's this one. Mark 1, look at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, now here it is, if thou wilt. This man he doesn't really know for sure. He says, if you will, thou can make me clean. See, and most people that I talk to that are, genuinely Christian and love the Lord, most of them know that He can heal them. The big question is it His will? Well, that's why I said to you at the beginning, that's what Jesus said to Philip. He said, Philip, have you seen me so long and you don't know yet? If you have seen me, Philip, you have seen the Father. And I recommend to you, again, assimilate. Read 30 times each, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, until there's something that stands up on the inside of you, which is an image of Jesus that cannot be torn down, where you see who He is. Because when you see Him, then you've seen the Father, and it'll eliminate those questions. But here, even this one time, it's like Jesus knew this question would arise, so we have it here in black and white or red and white, whatever it is, black and white. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Let's put it more today's English. I know you can heal me, Jesus, but I don't know if you will. What does Jesus say to him? Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and said unto him, I will. Glory to God. Be thou clean. The next verse said the man was made clean. It is His will to heal us. You've got to get past that. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I know it's His will. Remember, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know what would really tickle my Father pink? Tickle him silly? If I once and for all finally, permanently received that healing in my spine. That would please Him, man, where that's not an issue anymore and I can do what I need to do and move like I need to do and get on with it. And I'm telling you, I'm about to please Him. You're going to watch. You get to watch it and see. All right? But now, see, let's talk about the understanding. See, I understand that part. Do you know when I started taking this inventory and then started praying about item by item, my own life first, this is a big one to me. See, this affects our ministry. It's big. It's a big thing. I need to get this taken care of. And it's not the will of my Father that I be in such pain that I can't move to do what I need to do. It's not His will. Well, I understand that part. It's your will. But see, without realizing it, I sit there with my list and I pray and listen to the Holy Ghost. He starts bringing up things like, I don't say this to the Father. I don't remember ever saying it to the Father. But when the Holy Ghost brought it to my mind, I went, yeah, I do think like that sometimes. Well, Lord, I was 5 years old. I mean, I've had this a long, long time. See, without even realizing it, I'm watering down the undiluted truth of the Word with circumstances. Well, I've had this a long time. I was 5 years old when I've lived with this my whole life. So He starts bringing Scripture to me. Remember back to the lunatic boy in Matthew 17, one of the other gospel writers, I think it's Luke, I'm not sure, but one of the other ones records Jesus asking the Father, when did this come upon him? Do you remember what he said? As a child. Did that prevent Jesus from healing him? Did that change the will of God? Okay, here's another one. Well, it's been on me a long time. You don't have to look these up. You can if you want to. Luke 13 is what he brought to me. Luke 13, verses 11 through 13. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. How long, church? 18 years. Everyone say, long time. She was bowed together, bowed over, and could in no wise lift up herself. 18 years is a long time. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That tells me, I don't care if I've had this back thing since I was 5 years old. I don't care if it's deteriorated up until I'm 66 years old. I don't care if I've got x-rays, which I do have, that shows I have bone on bone in my spine. What's that got to do with the power of God? I need to throw that excuse out the window. I need to understand the word of the kingdom. My God is bigger than long time. It doesn't make any difference how long it's been. I need to understand the word of the kingdom to a greater depth than I have before. Get past my own excuses. Get past putting up with it. God's calling us to quit putting up with it. Now, not with people. We are to have long suffering with people. Remember I did that Greek study? The Greek of the Greek on the word long suffering? Because I didn't want it to mean what it sounded like it meant. So I did the Greek of the Greek and the tenses and the history of long suffering, and I found out it meant to suffer long. Now, we put up with people, but we don't put up with pain. We don't put up with stuff that's not the will of our Father. The word of the kingdom is, it is His will and His good pleasure to manifest your healing today. The instant you hear it and believe it. And that includes Gary Carpenter. And I have my work cut out for me. And I'm just telling you about one area. Why do you think I brought a notebook? There's quite a few areas. We'll get to those in a minute. Not mine, yours. No, I'm teasing. Well, it's been that way a long, long time. That's not, you're going to stand there in front of him. Am I going to stand there one day and say, well, I would have gone to Australia. I know it was your, and I'm just saying Australia. There's a lot of places we're invited to. Hey, I would have gone, but the pain, Jesus. The pain, you know. Well, I had it a long time. Is that going to fly? I think I need more understanding of the word than that. My understanding of the word of the kingdom has to be better than that. Okay? Well, here's another one. Now, Kyle is my son-in-law sitting there. Angie says, they're around me enough to... I don't really go down around bad-mouthing my age all the time. I will say I'm 66, you know, but I don't go around... And besides that, my own mother, who's 92, if she hears me complaining about being 66... She just, you know, gives me one of those slap on the back of the head, whap, you know. Said, oh, I remember 66. 66 is great. But I had to admit when I had that item on my list there and I'm praying about it and going, now, he's, sure enough, there's something down on the inside of me that was justifying it by saying, well, I'm just getting older, you know. I mean, it just comes with age. I'm getting old. Oh, God, I didn't want to tell this one. You remember, I would come up with excuses. God, a new scripture. That's the way the devil does. I would say, Isaac was almost blind. He couldn't tell Jacob from Esau without feeling of his forearm to see which one had the hair. Y'all remember that story? I'd catch myself with, you know, coming up. I wouldn't even be saying it out loud. I'm just thinking it. And the Holy Ghost knew it. And he says, what about Moses, whose eyesight was not dimmed? And I went, what about Caleb, who at age 85 says, my strength is not abated, my eyesight is not dim. Give me this mountain. My strength today is the same as it was 45 years ago. Give me this mountain. And then he gave me scripture, sure enough, which is Psalms 103, verse 5, which says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. My understanding of the word of the kingdom is increasing. Can you understand what we're talking about here? He's going to get us past our excuses. Well, now, this one is close to the other one. It's been that way a long, long time. See, sometimes you can say, I was born with this problem. And maybe seriously, you have a birthday. I mean, mine is from age 5. But, you know, what if you were born that way, you know? But you could say like someone, you know, like, maybe you were born with a physical disability. Well, you know, blindness, something like that. And he just took me to Acts Chapter 3, verse 2. And there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. What does that mean? Born that way. Birth defect. And y'all know what... Y'all know what happened. Peter, was it John, prayed for him? Just that Peter plainly tells you. Why look ye on us as though by our own power or our own holiness this man was healed? No, it is through that name and faith in that name that this man is made whole. So the name of Jesus is above birth defects. So now I'm standing there going, all right, what do I need to do? I'm laying down all my excuses, God. He says, you need to treat my word like seed now. Your soil now is better than it was before. Your understanding of my word is better than it was before. So now I'm going to go right back to what I know. Take his word like seed. And I'm going to get like 2-3 verses. Did you know, in the early days I did it wrong. I thought I had to have every verse in the Bible memorized that talked about healing. No, you don't. The Bible says, by 2 or 3 witnesses let every word be established. You need 2 or 3. You need to plant those seeds. You need to plant them. And I don't care. And I'm just telling you now. I can see your little cornfield. Can you see your little cornfield you get planted? I'm telling you, I see tornadoes on the horizon. Hailstorms are coming. Windstorms are coming. Bugs are coming. Everything the devil is, that's the rest of Mark 4. That's the rest of it. Everything that you can think of is coming to make you pull that little plant out of the ground before you get your harvest. But if you persist, there is nothing you can't have that is promised you in God's word. That's why all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. You are in Him. There is no excuse. How do you physically do it? Yes, sir. This is how I'm going to do it. You do it how you want to. I'm not here to manipulate you. I already know what I'm going to do. Just in the same way that Sue and I, that he had me. Sue never had strongholds like I had. But remember the money thing years ago when I had those strongholds? If you had God, you had to be poor and I couldn't get past it. See, and I already found out through that experience, wanting to be past it wasn't good enough. I mean, man, money was staying away in great abundance. I needed some prosperity. My wife wanted me to believe. My kids wanted me to believe. Our house wanted me to believe. I wanted to believe. But wanting the prosperity never changed me. Wanting it really badly never changed it. The only thing that did, I had to take God's word. Now, in my case, and I am not telling you what to do. I am just sharing my testimony, friend to friend, brother to brother, brother to sister. In my case, to plant His word, I took those three verses. Just in case you never heard it, Psalms 34:10. Though the young lions may hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Now in my case, I got a plain instruction from the Lord. He said, you take 4 hours a day and say those three verses out loud over and over again. 4 hours a day. Seemed like the most ridiculous thing in the world. Every time I would try that, I'd like to say the devil did it, but it was my own mind beat me out of doing that about 1,000 times because it just seemed so ridiculous. I'd start doing it, and we had real problems. I mean, we were, you know, in danger of the utilities being shut off and, you know, food and just everything. Even maybe on the street, you know, we were behind on our rent payment and everything. And wanting out of it was not the answer. Harvesting out of it was the answer. Harvesting, is that okay? What I mean by that is sowing the word of God. Planting it in my soul over and over with every kind of thing came. This is not, look how bad your circumstances are. We held on to it. And it took months. I hate to admit that my soul was so damaged. It took that long. But eventually, something happened. And I don't know how to describe this. Something drops from your head to your heart. You change. And it's still, the best way I can describe it, it's like I lived in one room for a long time. But that day I stepped across the threshold into another room. It was another realm to live in. I walked home that day. Those pile of bills was stacked up about a foot high on the table. I said, I don't live there anymore. Now, nothing in the natural had changed, but something on the inside of Gary did change. That same thing will happen with your healing. That same thing will happen with your debts. That same thing will happen with your kids. That same thing will happen with your lost relatives. I mean, God's word has the answer for every human need. There's no case that is not covered by God's word. You need to find two or three witnesses, two or three scriptures that covers your case. And it'll work for other people without you manipulating them. And I remember a message you had me do quite a few years ago about intercession. You remember the guy that had to, his servant was homesick, and the guy came and made intercession for the servant. He didn't, and we're not told of nothing. We're not told anything about that servant, whether he was a good guy, a bad guy. We don't know anything about him. You know why? It wasn't his faith. It was the faith of the intercessor that got the help of God for him. He says, speak the word only, my servant will be healed. Boy, Jesus did, and he was. Then come that mother that had a daughter that was grievously vexed of a devil, and this woman didn't even have a covenant with God at the time. This was before the resurrection, before the cross. She was she was not a Jew, but she came. Yeah? She didn't even have a covenant with God. Her faith was bigger than the covenant. Her faith was actually looking to that beyond the resurrection. She's going, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thy daughter even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The intercession. So parents, don't go meddling in your kids, your married kids' stuff. That's not what he's calling you to do. But he is saying, man, if there's things you see, you can go to God's word. You can become the intercessor. You still have more authority in your kids' lives. Even if they're married, you still have authority. And you can make it. And really, you have. It's not only the genetics, it's the love authority. Faith works by what? There's nothing like the love of a parent. You begin making intercession. I'm telling you, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It can not only happen in your life, it can happen in your kids' lives. It can happen in your friends' lives. He's calling us to act like his word is true. Did you hear that? Like he will actually answer our prayers. Yes, sir. Just someone needs this seed. Go to Isaiah 49. Whether you're here in the room or listening around the world, you may not have heard about our three lovely daughters who all love the Lord and serve the Lord now. But they're just 2 years apart. They were all three teenagers at the same time. They all got into rebellion at the same time. And what I mean is doing stuff teenagers do. Now, Angie's sitting here, and she'll just plainly tell you she was the least rebellious. And I think that's true. I think that's true. But she did, didn't you, honey? She rebelled for a little while, just a little while, a little bit, yeah. But we didn't know what to do because, and you may be in the same boat because the enemy may be saying to you what he was saying to us because they were choosing that. They were drinking and doing stuff. They knew better, you know, out carousing and things. And, you know, the thoughts would come to our mind. You didn't raise them like this. They know better than this. And the devil was basically saying, they're choosing me. You don't, you know, they're choosing this. And this was after they were old enough to drive and everything. So it was like he was telling me he had a legal right to them. And I didn't really know how to counter that. Thank God for the word. Look at here, Isaiah 49. Look at verses 24 and 25. Now what the devil was saying, he says, I have a legal right to those kids because they're choosing me. I didn't know how to respond to that. Look at verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, now notice, or the lawful captive delivered? Now, what is a lawful captive? That's someone who's been captured lawfully. They were choosing him. He was telling me that he had them captured all right, but he was doing it lawfully because they were making the choice. It's not like they didn't know better. And that's the question. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? Well, I didn't know. What do you say, God? Look at the next verse. Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. How? For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Glory to God, we found our answer. And it didn't matter if they were lawful captives. He said, you put your faith in me, I will contend with him that captured them, and I will set your children free. And he did. Glory to God. But we had to hold on to that word in the face of every contrary circumstance. I'm telling you, it would have been so easy for our mouths to agree with the circumstances. You know, when the mountain is crushing you to death, you know, you don't feel like you're just talking to the mountain. You feel like the mountain has crawled on top of you now. And, you know, there's something in humans that want to say, hey, I bet my mountain is bigger than your mountain. You know, it would have been so easy. You know, how they, I'll just pick on Angie. How, since she's here. Well, how's Angie doing? Oh, she's out. I'm telling you, she's been drinking and carousing, and I don't know what all she's doing. And, oh, my God, we're just hoping she doesn't get killed out there. And have a, oh, God. A lot of faith there, isn't it? Once we had that verse, once we understood that and we made our stand, and we knew that that was going on. We knew with all three of them it was going on. It wasn't just her. You ask this, how's the girls doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy, they cast out devils, they speak with new tongues. They serve the Lord their God, and Him only do they serve. And on, how long do you want to stand there? That's how long we're going to keep spouting scripture at you, telling us about our daughters. We would not speak anything contrary to His word about them. That's part of how you keep that seed planted. So your understanding of the word, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what is the end result of this lesson today. Your excuses are over. Your excuses are over now. His word is the answer to your problem. Get over yourself. Stop it. Go to work. Get His word. Whatever the situation. Your own life first. Remember Luke's, Matthew 6 comes before Luke, at least in Matthew 6. Learn to receive bread from Him yourself. Not just as financial, but if you need healing, that's what I'm doing. Receive healing, whatever it is. But then He wants to go beyond there, not just in the ministry sense. Of course, we're supposed to take healing when you minister. But what about your family? What about your loved ones? Man, there's scripture to cover every case. It doesn't matter. Get you a ring binder. Say, well, I got a bunch of cases. Get a ring binder. Start sectioning it off, you know. Start finding His word. You only need two or three verses, I'm telling you, for every problem. Two or three will do it. But the promise of God, every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ. Your understanding increased today. My understanding is increasing. And we will have hundredfold manifestation. Every promise that Jesus died for me to have, I bless God, intend to have it. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen.